morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. We have about 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we continue to have small craft advisories for winds and hazardous seas in effect through later tonight. For winds is later this afternoon, but even after those winds die down, those hazardous seas are going to remain because now they're just filled with all that energy that the wind gave them earlier in the day and earlier in the week. We have west winds today, 15 to 20 knots, wind waves 3 feet high at 6 seconds apart from the west, and westerly swells 14 feet high at 13 seconds apart, and a chance of showers. And those local wind waves usually are a different source of energy than what is in those swells, which are coming from way out in the ocean. So we always have those two influences here, local wind waves and swells, and they're sometimes coming from different directions. Well, today I'm going to forego talking about the ship schedule. I'll see if I can put it up on the site later. I want to share with you an interview that I did with Pat Corcoran, all about last week's tsunami watch. I had been talking on the air about the differences between watches and advisories and warnings, and he emailed me and said, that's all good information, but there's a little more to the story than that. So I thought I'd share this with you. It was quite educational for me to speak with him about all this. Pat Corcoran is a familiar face in the coastal communities of Northwest Oregon, a professor and coastal hazards outreach specialist for OSU. His forte is educating people about the risks they face living near the seashore on the Ring of Fire. That term describes the earthquake-prone coasts of countries and states bordering the seismically active Pacific Basin. People here are always on the alert for the big one. Corcoran said the tsunami scare was a good learning opportunity, but he's concerned that people who were in an uproar about it are wasting their time worrying about the wrong emergency. This event wasn't a disaster, and even at its worst would not have been anything remotely like the big one. But first, what happened on Tuesday morning?
We had an earthquake up in Alaska, and as the scientists and monitoring people do, they monitor it to see what kind of quake and how big it is and if it's going to send a tsunami outward. They gave a heads up to the emergency managers that they're looking at this and then fairly quickly determined that it was not going to create a tsunami, and so no warning was necessarily given. There was a heads up, and some of us took that pretty seriously.
But Corcoran says it's a mistake to think that all tsunami threats are the same. It boils down to the difference between being awakened in the middle of the night by a text message or instead by an earthquake that's shaking your house.
So for all of us on the North Coast, on the peninsula, or anywhere else, you know, we need to understand there are two scenarios when we talk about tsunamis. The scenario that we've experienced fairly regularly over the years where somebody else gets an earthquake and sends a small tsunami our way. But the other scenario is when we have the earthquake here, right under our feet, and we have all the earthquake damage and bridges and all this stuff, and 15 to 30 minutes, large tsunamis coming on the beach. So these are two very different scenarios. Earthquake far away, don't sweat it. You get woken up in the middle of the night with a text, maybe. Stay off the beach. You wake up to an earthquake in the middle of the night, that is the big one.
The bottom line is that distant events are tsunami only. There's no local earthquake damage. It takes them a long time to get here, about 4 hours from Alaska. And the waves are just not big enough to cause widespread damage. So Corcoran says a distant tsunami is simply not a catastrophe.
Good to know about them. Got to get off the beach. No need to evacuate to Portland or pretty much any very far at all, more than a couple of blocks maybe. Refer to your maps to know where the water may come.
By maps, he means inundation zone maps available in coastal municipalities, created to show residents where flooding is likely to happen. Why did some communities alert residents when others did not? Corcoran says tsunami response is evolving and varies between communities and states.
Different jurisdictions take these serious events seriously, but sometimes from their own perspective, whether that's a Tillamook County or a Clatsop County in Oregon. And then certainly across the river, we have a different state with a different structure for warnings and things like this. So there will naturally be some variation within that. When bad things happen, they will let you know. The protocols that each jurisdiction takes, we're still kind of working out the bugs on that as far as having them be seamless. And so there's naturally going to be a little bit of difference between the two. The big message is Is this a subduction zone quake, which means you felt the big earthquake, in which case this is a serious deal? Or is this a warning about an event that happened somewhere else that we need to be aware of but not afraid of?
Corcoran says Pacific Northwest residents alive now have never experienced a catastrophic local quake and tsunami, and that affects people's assessment of the threat.
We tend to collapse these two events into our brain, into one tsunami scenario. And I think part of our brain wants there to be a text in the middle of the night to wake us up and tell us the big one is going to happen and so we can get in our car and drive to Portland. But that's just not the reality. We will wake up to a big earthquake that will be our warning to get to high ground. So there's a part of human nature that really wants to have a warning for the big one. Unfortunately, the big one is the warning. It is the earthquake, and you know that's what they're monitoring elsewhere. I mean, when we have it here, you don't need a siren to let you know you just went through the biggest earthquake that you've ever experienced. You need that earthquake to be your absolute clear guide to duck, cover, and hold, and if you're in the inundation zone, get out of it. And if you're out of the inundation zone, stay put. That's the other part of that equation.
Oregon and Washington have experienced two distant tsunamis of note in recent memory. One happened in 1964 after a 9.2 quake in Alaska. The resulting waves that hit Oregon and Washington reached a maximum of 15 feet in height and caused damage in immediate coastal areas. In 2011, the massive quake in Japan sent tsunami waves up to 6 feet high to southern Oregon communities, also causing property damage in immediate coastal areas. While damage was extensive in some areas right on the water, in neither case were mass evacuations needed. According to news reports, 5 people died in Oregon in the 1964 quake. A dozen died in California. Those deaths mostly occurred in Crescent City, where people had been warned of an approaching tsunami wave, but most ignored the alerts. In 2011, one California man died on the shore trying to take pictures of the tsunami waves. In Astoria, Oregon, I'm Joanne Rideout. So that was a report that I did based on my interview with Pat Corcoran about this whole issue of how alarmed should we be. Just to recap a little bit, a watch, which we received last week, means watch and wait. It means the assessment has not been made as to whether there's a risk or not. Advisory means, as Pat said, stay off the beach. A warning means that you might want to get to high ground. But in this case, with a distant tsunami, he says you don't have to panic and run for the hills the way we would if there was the big one. So I guess I know that people in, depending on where your community is, you have local concerns. One of the things, because there was so much confusion and information was simply not being set out, Coast Community Radio, we didn't receive any alerts at all. That's why we were not on the air. So this has been a wake-up call for us. We're updating our contacts just for more redundancy so that somebody lets us know if there's a watch going on so that we can let you know and you can make your own decision about how you're going to handle it. But at any rate, I thought that was very educational because, you know, we hear the word the tsunami, and I mean, we all kind of freak here on the coast when we hear that word. But there are different degrees of risk, and a distant event, as he points out, is a very different thing from an earthquake happening right here under our feet. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.